It takes more than automating your job so well that your automations also write buggy code to be a great software engineer. This is episode 434 of the Soft Skills Engineering Podcast. I'm your host, Jameson Dance.
I'm your host, Dave Smith.
Soft Skills Engineering is a weekly advice show about all the non-technical things that go into the technical field of software development. Like, how do you apologize for the mistakes that you don't know that you made because you recreated a clone of yourself using automation and the clone was so accurate that it screws up in the same way that you would screw up?
How do you apologize for that? It's got to be some kind of automation. I guess maybe the clone would also generate the apologies.
I think the automation would make its own automation also. Isn't that the fear of the infinite paperclip kind of gray goo AI takeover?
Totally.
Well, happy to do my part to contribute to that.
Good work.
Dave, do you want to thank our patrons?
I do. We want to give a big shout out to those that are contributing at the level where they get the first one. It's a one-time shout out to someone named ZZ. It's actually lowercase z, I think, just to make sure that's clear. And
I could tell from how you pronounced it.
You could tell by the way I said it. Yeah, good.
Yeah, you said it lowercase.
Oh, okay, good. Sometimes I worry that it came out the wrong way, but I think I got it. Okay, yeah. And a big thanks to those that contribute at such what's a really fancy word for big? Exorbitant?
I feel like we've said, exorbitant is good. I was going to say prodigious, but prodigious. I think we've said that before.
Prodigious is good. At such a prodigious, exorbitant level that we say their names or whatever they type into the Patreon name box every single week. They are Nick Molyneux, Apata, which, by the way, Jameson, I found out is a reference to a song. A modern pop song.
What?
Yeah. It came on my Spotify playlist
old
recently.
Okay.
We'll catch you up later. Anyway, The next name is attribute error. None type object has no attribute to _string. Javier Gonzalez, Chewy, Ted Timbrell, I found some cash and I'm back on the list, baby. BecomeASeniorEngineer.com. Unsalted French fries are morally objectionable. Dan from Drone Deploy. Chase W. Norton. Level up your TypeScript with TypeHero.dev. Never is not just a crater on Mars. Flamingo emoji. I like chicken. I like liver. Meowmix. Meowmix. Please deliver. Trash Panda. Kyle Boss. Kent C. Dodds. Nevar is not just a planet in the Vulcan system. Jenny Kim. Owen Shartle. The Stochastic Parrot. Helicone.ai, best observability tool for AI. Red Panda is best panda. TypeScript is a Microsoft conspiracy. Jonathan King, Zanai, beautiful functional user documentation. It takes more than setting a funny name on Patreon to make Dave and Jameson laugh to be a great engineer. The creator of WilliamAngel.net, Lord Ragnar, Travis, Brayton Gaines, John Grant. If you would like to join this illustrious crew, do go to softskills.audio and click the support us on Patreon button. And a special shout out to Cody Sale, who has generously given a large sum in order to support the good work we do. Thank you, Co.
And then the message ends. We'll never know what it would have said.
Yeah,
you what think, it, Cody, but that's a lot of assumptions to make.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not willing to make that leap.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We feel your support. I feel it every day as I bathe in my luxurious champagne pool purchased by all this.
I honestly don't know what I love more, the money or the just amazing comedy that comes through the Patreon names. Okay,
I love the second one more.
I was going to go with money.
But not enough. Okay, I can immediately hear people say, well, then why don't you just change the price on Patreon so it's cheaper? And I think that means I actually love the money more. Because I'm not going to do that.
Sometimes your actions speak louder than your words, Jameson.
Yeah. My revealed preference is
the money.
Okay. All right. You got me.
Thank you, everyone. And then, by the way, this does go to support the show. We have editing costs, server hosting costs, and, of course, Jameson's champagne bathtub that has to be refilled every day, and he only likes a certain vintage to bathe in. So, you know, it's
the
expensive.
Cleaning fees on that are what really get you, because I think it's sticky. Actually, I've never touched, I don't know what champagne is. Besides expensive.
You're not.
All right.
You've never had anything worth celebrating or felt fancy enough to crack open a bottle.
Yeah. I better read our first question.
Yes.
This is from an anonymous listener who says, my boss has been forgetting a lot of stuff lately. Decisions from team discussions, action items from meetings, their own decisions that they then go against later, etc. They're great overall, and this is definitely just a human thing. We're not perfect. But how can I help them remember or remain accountable without feeling like the snitch from Recess?
Oh, what's the snitch from... Why is Recess in air quotes?
Isn't that Randall? That was a TV show.
Randall Weems, Recess Wiki.
Yeah, I think that was
Recess.
Randall.
So Recess was a cartoon?
Yeah, I think you were probably a bit too old for it. It was like right around... This person is probably my age because this was on TV when I was a kid.
Okay.
It was good.
So I missed it by about 30 or 40 years.
I've learned new things about you just now. The whole time you've been a fraud, passing yourself off as a youthful,
as a hello fellow
40
kids.
40 something instead of an ancient 70 something. You did a good job. You had me fooled.
Yeah, I'm very youthful looking. I mean, I knew the pop song references that you didn't know today. So
yeah, that's true. That's like, okay, you know how you can, I don't know, harvest the blood and adrenochrome from young people and
obviously
inject it into yourself and then maintain your vampire-like immortality?
Yeah.
I think you could do the same by keeping up on TikTok references.
Yeah, it's actually the fountain of youth is TikTok.
Yeah, it makes you younger, which is why I spend all my time doing it. All right, answering this question.
Okay.
How can I help them remember or remain accountable without...
I already forgot the question.
I decided to never remind you what the question is, but I have then forgot it, so I'm going to remind you what it was. So I identify with the boss in this situation because I am very forgetful, and I will sometimes be consistent enough that if I end up in the situation where I try to make a decision and I forgot I already made it, I'll make the same decision. But not always. Sometimes, I don't know, the weather's different, and that how delicious the pancakes were that I ate this morning affects it. So sometimes I come to a different conclusion. That seems bad. But I really appreciate it when someone says, hey, remember when we talked about this already? And I'm, I think, aware of my faults in this regard, so I don't get bothered by it.
The last time I said that to you, you said, how dare you insinuate that I'm a forgetful old man?
I forgot that I did that, so.
It's a great way to live.
If your boss is great overall, yeah, unburdened by the past. If your boss is great overall, I do feel like they wouldn't be too mad if you just said, hey, it's written down right here. Here are the action items. You don't have to say, hey, I've noticed a decline in your cognitive ability that makes me doubt your capabilities as a boss. You can remember when we talked about this.
Yeah. You could actually ratify your company's constitution to introduce a 14th Amendment-like clause that allows you to depose your boss if they forget enough stuff.
Sorry, you forgot too many action items.
You've been deposed.
I'm assuming that these things have been written down, and that might not be true. So an easy thing you could do if that's not happening is make sure this stuff gets written down. If you make decisions in team discussions, write it down in an agenda if you have it, or if you don't, throw it in Slack or Teams or Discord or whatever you're using for your company. Write down action items. Make them tickets in your task tracking software. I do this as a survival mechanism because otherwise I will 100% forget, and then I still forget, but then I am reminded of it later when I go back and read the thing or someone says, like, nudges me on it or whatever. So that makes it easier to be consistent.
I have also developed a almost unhealthy compulsion for writing down everything. I make a lot of notes. This is actually a technique I picked up at a big tech company because there was just so much information that I just, I couldn't stand the fact. Actually, you know what it was? It wasn't that there was so much information. It's that correct information was so hard to get. So hard. And so once I got it, I wrote it down like a treasure chest because I just couldn't stand the idea of like spending two more weeks to hunt down that person whose calendar
how much you suffered.
Yes. I mean, I'm like, oh, I finally found the person. That took me a week. Then it took me a week and a half to get on their calendar. Then I got on their calendar, and now I will record this whole conversation audio and write the whole thing down in my note-taking app. So I developed that and I've never let it go. And frankly, I've probably only referenced about less than 1% of the stuff I've written. But boy, I tell you what, when you find that 1%, it's like Christmas morning.
Also, just the act of writing it helps you remember it.
Not me. So I
oh, really?
I think this is true for many people, like if they take notes in, during a lecture or something. But I have found that there's something about the act of writing copious notes. I mean, we're talking like, I like write a lot. Like I can, I've written so many notes in my life that my typing speed has gone up and I can almost type as fast as most people can speak. I'm probably like 20% slower than speech. And what I've found is that when I do that, I don't actually form memories.
You're too busy transcribing to actually think about what is being said. And
yeah, like imagine the court stenographer and then asking that court stenographer, like, what was said in the court session? They'd be like, I don't know. I just write down what was said. I don't actually remember everything that was said. That's me. I think I'm actually like psychologically pardoning my memory forming part of my brain where I'm like, look, step aside. You don't need to work so hard right now because we're going to write all of this down. Not a single bit of this will be missed and you don't have to work.
I could see that happening where you don't want to have to worry about remembering it. So you kind of just get it all out of your head.
And so that's a two-edged sword though. Cause I would actually prefer to just remember everything. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
And so I've opted to have a
record. Maybe you just haven't tried to remember everything.
Maybe you just, try remembering harder.
Just try real hard.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, I can feel in my mind this like psychological, I'll use a muscle metaphor because I can't actually feel anything inside my brain, but I can feel the act of exerting myself to remember. You know how sometimes you put something down, like you're holding like your keys in your hand and you put them down thoughtlessly and then you can't find them later, right? But you know how sometimes when you put them down you say to yourself, I am putting my keys on the kitchen table. And then you go, clink, I have put my keys on the kitchen table. And then that memory is like permanently formed.
It's like TCP, like SYNAC.
Yes, exactly. Like there's an SSL handshake here. The data was persisted in the long-term storage. I got a 200 back from the API. Everything is good. There's something about that action that makes my mind form that memory.
Yeah. So I've been diagnosed with ADHD. Which I feel like literally everyone I talk to also has. So maybe it's just the way the world works now. But that experience of setting down keys and not knowing where they go is not like unique to ADHD. But if I understand right, certainly happens more often. And I think describes my default state of existing in the world is just things just disappear and reappear magically out of my perception. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the feeling of being able to work on a problem, kind of talk through something in a meeting, figure something out. And it is freeing to know, and I don't have to just remember this. Like I can work on it and I know it's going to get blasted away out of my brain by the million other things that are going to come in there, but it does feel freeing and lowers my stress to know, and it's going somewhere. So this doesn't help with your boss.
Yeah, directly. You know. Well, hold on. We got to talk about.
I couldn't live that way. I couldn't live in like where I have to remember stuff.
I know, right? Look, I want to get to the boss thing too, but I want to dwell on this memory thing for just a minute more because I think there are some techniques you can use. Here's one, for example. You ever see that Doctor Who episode? Do you watch Doctor Who, Jameson?
No, I just vaguely know about it from.
Okay. So this is the new, in air quotes, the new series, which is now going back like 15 or 20 years. So maybe not so new, but it's not the black and white one. Anyway, there's this one kind of alien. And while you are looking at the alien, you cannot form memories. And then when you look away, you can resume forming memories. And so people adopt a technique where they grab a marker and they put like a mark on their arm. When they see the alien, they mark it so that they know what happened. And so the way they experience...
that's creepy. And then you just like look at your arm and you're like, holy crap.
Yes, exactly. So you look down.
I've seen the alien.
Yeah. And there's like three, there was no marks on your hand. And then you look down and there's three. And you're like, oh.
Whoa.
Anyway, so I think that's how your keys feel to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It actually is. Yeah.
Cool. That's all I wanted to say about memory. That was my psychological analysis of you.
Oh, I like that because I think that does describe, like, I'm just automatically going through the motions of moving stuff around physically, but I'm definitely not forming any memories of where it goes.
Yep.
which is why I have to put my keys in the drawer or they're gone.
So if you are a forgetful old man who forgets his keys, which you are, and forgets important business decisions, and forgets whether or not you fired Bob, your team member, last week.
Yeah.
Where's Bob? You fired him. What? Anyway, how would you like to be approached by one of your, let's say in this case, you're one of the people that report to you?
So I think there's a difference between dealing with it in the moment, which if this is a great boss, I think you could just say, hey, remember we talked about this. Remember we decided this. And often if you nudge somebody, they will remember. It just isn't on the top of their mind. And addressing the wider problem. And I assume you're talking about the wider problem of how do you not just deal with the instance of it, but hopefully make it happen less.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where you can, if your boss doesn't remember, probably other people don't either.
Hmm.
Part of the job your boss has is to get shared decisions and ideas and concepts into the brains of everybody on the team. And you could pitch this as a, we're actually helping an effort to help the whole team. I want to make sure that everybody understands what we decide. So we're going to write these things down and refer back to them. So it's less focused on, hey, you forget stuff and change your mind all the time. And it's more about, well, when we make decisions, we want them to stick. And part of how they stick is everyone like knows about them and understands them. And that does not just happen if you say, we decided this thing in a meeting. People come away with very different understandings of what happened, or just forget, or weren't paying attention or whatever. So I think you could pitch this as, I want to help the team stay on top of things and get things done. So help me, like, let's write stuff down and then we can share it around.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if decisions are being, like, yeah, I really like that. Like, if decisions are being made by your boss, presumably these impact the team, and presumably it'd be good to have a record of what that was so you don't just have to go re-ask your boss. I like that. Smart.
I guess it depends on whether they're publicly shareable or not. I'm assuming they're things like, we want this kind of architecture and not like, we will dock this person's pay by 10% because they reminded me that I forgot something.
Right. I think you have to assume that's the kind of decision category we're talking about here. If there's anything I really dislike at work, it's when we relitigate or rediscuss the same question. And this happens a lot, actually. I've had team members who, sometimes it's me, sometimes I'm the one reminding everyone, but, you know, like most recently it was me reminding everyone, like, okay, here's why we're not using that feature of this thing, because it doesn't support X and we need X. And so then people are like, hey, why don't we use this? It's like this obvious thing to reach for. I'm like, remember, that's because, and it's like, I think it's hardest for people to remember stuff that has dependencies, where it's like, well, there were actually three logical steps you have to make before we can say why we didn't use it. We didn't use it because it doesn't have X, and X is needed for Y, and Y was needed for Z. Like, okay. It's like hard. It's hard to remember all that.
That's also, I'm just thinking of people that seem like they know, are people that get very effective in an org and know how to navigate stuff. I feel like you've just articulated part of why they're so good at it is because they understand all of the dependencies. They don't just know, hey, we don't use this feature. They know, like, 10 years ago, someone pressed this button, which had this carry-on effect, which meant that we need to support this special use case, which means we can't use these other features that aren't compatible with this use case.
And then legal decided this, but that person left and their predecessor or their successor decided this.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Stuff gets complicated.
I think there's one possible outcome here that we need to address, which is one of the challenging parts about forgetting things is that you don't remember that you forgot things a lot of the time. And so if you go to your boss and say, I've been noticing you've been forgetting a lot of stuff lately, they'll be like, the one possible response is, no, I didn't remember that.
I don't
remember forgetting anything. And you say, I knew you would say that. So I've prepared a list of 7 important decisions that you forgot about that came from team meetings that we had to rediscuss.
And good news, you'll get practice at this meeting because they'll probably forget that this happened and then you'll get to try a few different approaches. Yes, last time we talked about this.
Yeah, do you remember the meeting we had where I talked to you about forgetting stuff? No.
You know, this reminds me of, have you ever seen, is it the Day After Tomorrow?
The Edge of Tomorrow.
The Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah, yes, that Tom Cruise time travel movie.
Yeah.
You have
one of my favorites.
You just have to learn. It's such a good movie. You have to. It happens in a lot of time travel movies, like or Groundhog Day type movies like this, where someone just learns everything that's going to happen and they get to figure out how to speed run through. Like, I've figured out how to get through this part of the day fast.
Yes. So the next time you have the meeting about forgetfulness, you'd be like, okay, listen, before you say this, you're going to say this, then I'm going to say this, then you're going to say this, and your boss is
and
like,
you're going to throw a punch and I will block you with my left hand. Yes. And then that will disorient you. And then, yeah.
That'd
this doesn't
be
help
so
you,
funny.
But I just love those parts of the movie where
oh my gosh. Just mine too.
My perfectly navigate favorite. This tricky situation.
Rolling under the truck at just the right moment.
Because they died 10,000 times
exactly.
or whatever.
I would definitely go insane before I would get good at any of that stuff.
Have you seen the theories about Groundhog Day where theories that he's in there for hundreds of years, like a super long time?
Uh-huh. No, I haven't, but it makes sense.
It turns into kind of a horror movie.
Yeah.
At that point.
Well, how else would he get that good at piano?
I would never get that good at piano.
Well, my father was a piano mover. That was one of the lines.
I think we've helped.
First lesson? All right.
We answered the question.
I really do think if you've got a good boss who's willing to confront things head on, I think this is an opportunity for you to give feedback to your boss that maybe no one else has given them and maybe they aren't aware of themselves. And you just got to put it really gently, like, hey, listen, I've noticed three examples of times when you seem to have forgotten about a decision we made as a team and we rediscussed it and we came to either the same or different conclusion, but either way, we spent a bunch of extra time. And I just wonder if you're aware that this is happening. You know, that might be all you got to say. And if they're a good,
I would
self-aware
love that
person,
feedback from somebody.
Yeah, I would too. Now, if they're a monster, this is not what you want to do. I don't know. Dealing with monsters is a whole different level, but it's possible.
It should be very easy to manipulate because they forget stuff all the time, though.
Yeah. Good news. You'll get another chance.
Yeah. All right. Will you read our next question, Dave?
Yes, I will. This comes from a listener, Gil Bates. Yeah, definitely your real name. Hey, I started working in a big tech company recently, and I feel like I am on a different planet all of a sudden. Before, I did only work in startups and small companies. I have joined as a senior developer, and I have a weekly one-on-one meeting with my manager, but also a bi-weekly one-on-one meeting with the skip-level manager. The latter is where I am having problems. I don't really know what to talk about in this meeting, and I fear that this is seen as disengagement. The first time I had the meeting, the skip-level manager mentioned that he was sure I would have tons of questions. And in reality, I had none. I feel like in my senior role, I must come into this meeting with good questions. But all questions I have, I am discussing with my peers or managers directly. So nothing left really for my skip level manager. I'm starting to prepare fake questions where I already know the answer just to seem engaged. It seems like a game. So please, Dave and Jameson, tell me how to play that one-on-one skip level manager game. Oh my goodness.
Fake questions.
I love it.
Big tech company, no questions. That is surprising to me that you have no questions. I don't think that's true, actually. I don't think you have no questions. I bet you're confused or baffled or unsure about a lot of things at a big tech company, but you just maybe don't have them off the top of your head, or maybe you don't think they're the right questions for your skip level manager. But I would be very surprised if you joined a big tech company after working at startups and your response was, oh, yeah, it makes sense. I got it.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
I think I got it. I think I have it all. I got it all.
You have nothing to offer me.
Yeah, I think I understand everything. Yeah, just about everything.
I think I understand checks list everything.
I just remember this long. First, this fog of war, this feeling of I see this tiny keyhole of the code that I work on and the people I work with directly. Mm-hmm. And I just am aware that the map is large and there's all this stuff out there and this vague sense of over time pieces of it kind of getting filled in, which sort of happens at every job. But I feel like the map is just so much bigger at a giant tech company that it becomes a different type of thing, even though it is similar in some degree.
And that's a great topic for discussion with your skip level manager, is understanding the bigger map and ask them like, hey, how does our team fit into the broader organization?
Yeah. Like what teams do you work with? Like, you probably know your team. If they're your skip level manager, you have some sibling teams. So maybe you kind of know about them. You could ask your skip level manager about those teams specifically, but then your org probably works with other orgs, and that probably gets a little bit fuzzier.
I have some ideas for questions that will maybe be perceived as political, not in the like governmental sense, but in the kind of network building,
kind of like sucking up and
yeah. And these good questions for a skip level manager are questions that simultaneously give you valuable information about what's going on broadly in the company and also position you as someone who is a valuable contributor to the success of something bigger than just your assigned work every day. So things like, what can I help with in the broader organization? What is your number one concern right now for your organization? How do we as an organization reporting up to you get better? Who should I get to know in the org or peer organizations? These kinds of questions show an engagement and interest in contributing that will create an image of you in the mind of your skip level manager that you are someone who truly cares about the success of your organization and the company and someone they can trust and count on.
Some of them might be tricky for the skip level to answer directly also. Like if you ask, what are you worried about? And they're worried that one of their teams is just crap.
They might not say tell you that. They might, though. Yeah. That's what's crazy is, you know, the kind of, you never know. Sometimes they'll play it hard, but even if they hesitate or look nervous when you ask that question, you've still got information. You know, it's valuable.
Yeah. And I mean, they probably wouldn't say, I think this team is garbage. They might say, well, this project on this other team isn't going super great or something like that.
And that gives you a chance to say, how can I help?
Yeah.
And there's always a risk when you're dealing with someone who has a higher scope of responsibility than you, that by offering to help, you'll end up signing yourself up for a bunch of work. But there's also a good chance that you're signing yourself up for a lot of recognition and reward in the future and job security.
Yeah. I mean, you're already at the job. So like, cool. You can find high value, high recognition work to do. That seems good.
Yeah.
I thought of another question. What do you think I could do to help my manager?
Oh, yeah.
Because you could ask your own manager that question, and they have some thoughts and their own perspective, but your skip level will have a different perspective on it, too.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I love that. And any question you ask your manager, I think you could also ask your skip level manager, and now you get to find out if they agree.
Ah. Did you hear that outrageous rumor that my manager has been spreading about you? What are your thoughts on the outrageous rumor that my manager has been spreading about you?
Also, remember that these meetings tend to be set up for two purposes. One is to benefit you, to help you be successful, and that's great. And it seems like you understand that, and that's why you want questions. But number two is for your skip-level manager to extract information about the functioning of a team of the manager who reports to that skip-level manager. You know, it's one thing to hear everything from the manager of a team, and the manager's like, look, everything's great. I'm really good at my job. You know, but then it's another thing to hear from the
Everyone
team
loves
member.
Me.
Yeah. Exactly. And then it can be a totally different story to hear from the team members and hear them say, actually, everything's not great. And so I'm not saying that you should be the person to go and spread those everything's not great information. But if there's valuable updates about the progress of things, this is a good chance for you to be a conduit for that information. And undoubtedly, your skip level manager wants these meetings, at least in part, for that purpose.
Yeah. Depending on your relationship with your manager, that can get tricky, because if your manager is easily rattled, they might feel like you're going behind their back and you're making them look bad. Or
yeah,
hopefully that's not the case.
That is always a risk with skip level meetings.
I can tell you what not to talk about. Do not talk about the code.
Yeah.
Skip level managers are immune to complaints about code quality. Like, I don't know. They don't care about your linting rules or how hard to work with this piece of code is, because everybody says that. Everybody says that. Yep. Or enough people say it that at that level, you sort of discount it a little bit, I guess, unless you have specific concerns that you can tie to business impact and some reasonable way to address it that isn't like, we got to just stop. We got to stop doing the thing that could make us money and just really rewrite code.
Yes.
That's not, nope. The answer to that will be nope.
That's a nope.
Nope. And also now I am judging you for thinking that that would be a good decision.
Yeah, because their first question is going to be, have you talked to your manager about this? And if the answer is no, you look dumb. If the answer is yes, he's like, why are you talking to me about it?
Yeah. I think it, so depending on the manager, sometimes you get, I'm kind of calling this person a director in my head. That's not necessarily the title, but it could be, I don't know. It depends on the company, but sometimes they're very technical and they like kind of started some of the systems at this org that this whole org grew up around or something like that. So you could actually ask them about, depending on what they know, kind of, I don't know, tell me about this important system that this other team works on. Like, tell me the story about where it came from and how
it got
here.
Give me the scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
Not really a scuttlebutt.
I think that stuff is interesting. It does sound like you're sucking up when I say this out loud, but I love the like history of the system just as much as what we are doing right now. I think it's fun to learn about that stuff, how it came to be. So maybe that's a different question. Like how did we get here? Where did this org come from?
Yes.
If you run out of questions, then I think you get to just engage in a power struggle, waiting for the other person to speak first. You just stare at each other.
It's a game of one-on-one chicken.
Yeah. Whoever blinks first. Now you're the skip level manager.
You could also ask, hey, what do you think would be an effective use of our time in this meeting? What are some of the outcomes that you think we should achieve? This is my first time doing skip level one-on-ones, and I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in these. I've never done them because I've worked at small startups. I think that's not a dumb thing to say.
I've only worked at companies where there was only one level, so I don't know how to skip them.
Yeah. If I skipped the level, I would be talking to our board, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Have we answered the question?
I think so. Good luck.
Good luck. It's a good spot to be in. At least they care.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're in a place where you just never even see this person. And I don't know. I think it's good that they are willing to spend time with you.
I agree.
All right. What can people do if they want their own questions answered?
Go over to softskills.audio and click the Ask a Question button. Thank you to everyone who does that. We love you. It's almost as nice as getting a weird Patreon name in a Patreon account. It's actually just as good. It's great. You keep the show going. You are the lifeblood of the content of this show. Now, if only you could just start writing answers, then we could just read those. It would be a lot easier.
Yeah, wait a minute. You're so needy. All you do is ask questions. Why don't you answer questions?
Seriously, it's the least you could do.
We have had people answer questions and say, here's what I think would be good, actually. And we love that. That's
yeah. And that's kind of the purpose for the Slack channel. So if you want to, you know, if you contribute anything on Patreon, we'll invite you to our Slack community and you can go in and actually get real answers to real questions from real people. Jameson and I are just robots. But if you want actual humans, you have to go into the Slack workspace.
Yep, they're paywalled.
The humans are paywalled.
All right. Thank you. We'll catch you next week.